on to hopefully finishing Kuf Tzadik Gimel. It shouldn't take us too long. You know, we've already been on Kuf Tzadik Gimel for a while. I imagine most of you have probably moved on from Kuf Tzadik Gimel. Okay. So let's try to wrap it up. So let's get Halach Lemais over here. First of all, different rules of Nida for Dam Besulim. Meaning, now that we know that we treat Dam Besulim like Dam Nida for whatever the reasons are, are there any different rules in terms of how we observe Hilchos Nida when we're dealing with Dam Besulim as opposed to dealing with Dam Nida? So there are Rishonim that indicate that there is in fact a difference. The Orzeru and Sim Shemembe says that only Isser Tashmish, everything else is Mutter. Only Tashmish Amita Zasir, all the other Achakos are Mutter. That sheet of the Orzeru is not even quoted in the Beis Yosef. That it's only an Isser Tashmish, everything else is Mutter. Who observes Nida like that? Where do you have that? You have that by Vestas. When it's a woman's Shas Veset, when she's expecting to maybe get her period, but nothing has happened yet. So then you have an Isser Tashmish. You don't have other Archakos, although we'll see. Many are not going to do a little bit more than that. The Rav Yah quotes this from the Rashbam, but still holds that it's Asher Lishon al Mitasa B'kir Basar, Elohu B'Bigdo V'hi B'Bigdo. That they can't sleep in the same bed without clothing, even if they're not going to have tashmish. And the reason is mishum kavod achason lo ratu lahachmir lahartik. That it was the Chazal thought that it would be machmir and dam besulim, but to make them actually be marchik themselves entirely when they just got married, it's not kavod abrias to do that to people. Rov rishonim psakel shulchan aruch is that you need to do all the harachakos, and it's not just an issur tashmish. If you hold there's a chashash tarovas dam nida, the Bnei Tzion, the Sim Samaches points out, then of course you'd have to be machmir. Meaning this may depend on what exactly the basis of Dam Besulim really is. So if it's based on the idea that there's an actual chashash, that there's a real legitimate chashash that we're choshish for, that there might be Dam Nida there, so then in a chinami, of course you're going to have to be machmir, if that's the concern. Or if you hold that it causes Dam Nida to come, so there's Dam Nida there, so then of course you're gonna have to be machmir. But if you hold that, look, I know it's Dam Mako, but it's only one time, so what's the big deal? Might as well be machmir. It's they have no experience anyway, so they'll be they're happy to just be together like the Beis Yosef had said, so then you could understand why you're not going to be fully machmir, because we're acknowledging full well that it's not Dam Nida, that it's only Dam Maka. So that's one possibility. Now the Rush quotes a Tshuvas Rabbeinu Haigon that says Kala Besuva She Nivala Beilas Mitzvah No Heges Atzma Kol Shiva Kenida. She has to observe regular Din Nidos Tzich Shiva Nekiyim with Tvila like a Zava. The mattress that they lie on when they have bia is not tameh. If the question is, should we be mitameh the mattress as a mishkav of a nida? It's not really a nida, so we don't have to mitameh the mattress as a mishkav of a nida. Then he quotes Vakasva Raivitzal in the Balei Nefesh, Ve'ini Omer al Biru Dvar, Vimashar Mashenon, Matam Mishka Matach, Mishas Bila, Visham Dalav Nida Vadahi, Vila Wais Nida Vadah Klum Yeshtum of Tarab, Zmanazel Tam Mishka Shtachta. Meaning, what's the Rav Haigon saying? Oh, because she's not really a Nida, so I'm not going to be worried about Tumas Mishkav now. As opposed to a real Nida, says the Raivit, then you're worried about Tumas Mishkav? There's no Mishkav, Tumas Mishkav Bismanazan. We're not knowing Tumantara. What do you mean? That's how you do with Dam Besulim, Dam Nida. Even a real Nida, you're not worried about this. Vinir Midvarav, Sha'asa Lishanal Mitasha Shal Nida, Afilu Bisha She'ena Bemita, Misham Hergel. Oh, must be there's a Harchaka over here. That it's usher for a man to sleep on a Nida's bed even when she's not in it. The Dafka Nida Vadai. And that's only for a real Nida. Aval Kala Mutulishan Bosamita Lachasham de Mansla. But the Kala, if she's no longer in the bed, that's what Rav Haigon meant by Mishkan Tak. So don't talk about Tumas Mishkan. There's no Tumas Mishkan as man is that. There's a Harchaka that a married man, when his wife is a Nida, if she's out of the room and he wants to take a nap, he's not allowed to take a nap in her bed. But if it's Dam Besulim, then he's allowed to. Afilu ba'oso sadin shahadam alav, if that's of interest to him. Va'af pri she'in ze min ha'alacha, harehim dvarim shadas machras aleim ad kam nishon arayim itzal. Shulchan Aruch is Mekelin says, mutal alishim bosa mitalach shamda meetzlo va'afilu besad v'shadam alav. So that's another potential exception. So first we have the Arzurua. The Arzurua said all harchakas are mutal. Then we have the Rush quoting from the Ravid that not all harchakas are mutal, but sleeping in her bed when she's not there, that's going to be mutar. Tavka by dam besulim, whereas it's asr by other nidos. Are there any Are there any other extensions of that kula? I mean, once you're saying that she's allowed to sleep, he's allowed to sleep in her bed when she's not there. Does that mean he's allowed to do anything else? Also, does that give free license for anything else? So, Padei Shulchan in the Biurim says luchora. There's another harchaka called Hatsa'a Samita. Hatsa'a Samita is preparing the bed, right? Or making the bed in front of each other, meaning the guy's wife is right there, she's watching, and he's making her bed while she's watching. Also to do that. That's one of the harchakas. So we learn the Kufsadiyeh. You're not allowed to do that. So it could be, or she to him, by the way. Okay, so. So it could be for you to celebrate. It could be that when it's done besulim, that it's going to be mutter. Why? Sharei iser hashen al mitasa nilma bekal v'chomer me'atzas mitasa v'matzel lezu lishan hu al mitasa kol shkishu mutter atzas amita dekayel tvei. Meaning. How do I know he's not allowed to sleep in her bed? It's a kal v'chomer, that if he's not even allowed to make her bed, then of course he's not allowed to sleep in her bed. But what about when he is allowed to sleep in her bed? So in kal v'chomer, he's also allowed to make her bed. If he could even do, meaning the assumption is that sleeping in the bed is going to arouse more taivos than making the bed. So we say if it's even usher to make the bed by a regular nida, then for sure it's going to be usher to sleep in her bed. But now, by Dam Besulim, we have the Raya telling us that it's mutter to sleep in her bed. Ooh, if it's even mutter to sleep in her bed when she's a Dam Besulim Nida, then it's for sure going to be mutter kal v'chomer. It's going to be mutter to do atzas amita. And he further notes that Meziga Sakos might also be mutter, because we allow Meziga Ali De Shinui, which indicates that Meziga is more kal than atzas amita. You can't do atzas amita Ali De Shinui. Right? Meaning your wife walks into the room and you're blindfolded and you're making the bed. She's like, what are you doing? Well, shinoi. There's no such halacha. But mezikas hakos alidei shinoi is mutter. So the very fact that we allow it with a shinoi tells you that it's more kal. So Bal Yashulchan used that to explain to Yerushalmi. He says, Al-Pizay yesh lefarish tiver Yerushalmi brachos perek bey sof halacha vav. Yerushalmi writes, Tini kala asur lebeis kol shiva. That a kal is going to be tamei for 7 days, and you're not allowed to take koshal bracha from her according to Rabbi Elazar. My time, Rabbi Elazar. Ef shleyetz dam nidam dam besudim. Why does Rabbi Elazar think she's asked for that whole week? Because dam nidam must have come along with the dam besudim. Yesh the daktik, but the maksha my time with Rabbi Elazar. What's the Yerushalmi asking? Says about the Shulchan. My time with Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Lazar is the one that came up with this chiddush that there's such a thing called dam besulim. My time with Rabbi Lazar, what kind of question? That Rabbi Lazar's chiddush was you can't even do mezigas sakos, and that's what we're asking. My time with Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lanan lo sviru lanachi kivin dami rachashash bialma shel dam nidas kanal. Yerushalmi was asking, Rabbi Lazar, why are you so machmir? I mean, it's one thing to say that Dam Besulim is to be treated as if she's a nida, but with all the archagos, Mezikas Hakos also? The commentary is the Iu Sover She'enuch Shash Gureda El Duke Vadai, Kivin She'ef Shashoyat Dam Nida and Dam Besulim. Lechain Oser Hukam Mezikas Hakos. That Rabbi Lazar's Shita is that it's not just a chashash, it's not just a chumra bialma, a chashash greda, it's treated like a vadai. But the Shulchan concludes, though, that we're machmir anyway, since the Shulchan Aruch only identifies sleeping in her bed as a potential kula. So even though, but the Shulchan says, logically, when you think about it, sleeping in her bed should mean that we're also making lematzas, and we're also making a mezigas hakos, but it doesn't say that. So if it doesn't say it, you know, Vadei Shulchan writing in whatever, 1987 or whatever, you know, whenever he published Vadei Shulchan, he's not going to invent new kulas that didn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. In Taras HaShlamim, he suggests something else. In Kuf Tzadik Gimel Aleph over here, that there was a minig after Bias Mitzvah for the Chasan Kalev to eat from the same dish. We didn't learn our chakos yet, so this would be a little more meaningful if we already know what's Aser Peranida, but, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's just always the way learning works, right? There are always prerequisites, you know, there's always self-referencing, so you have to learn it all before you can learn any of it. But anyway, so there was a minhag that the Torah Shalom says that after the Bias Mitzvah, they read from the same dish. Right? Chas and Kala, after the wedding, they come back to the hotel, they try to have the Bias Mitzvah, and then they realize afterwards they are starving because they didn't eat anything at their wedding. And the caterer packed them up with a whole bunch of delicious food from their wedding, right? Meaning, whatever they got. So they want to sit down and eat. But there's only one plate. The caterer packed them up with one plate to eat from. So they allowed to eat from the same plate after the Bias Mitzvah. So he says there was such a minhag, but says the Torah Shalom, V'yadati me'ayin yavala minhag zeh. He says, I have no idea where that minhag came from. And he quotes Beis Yosef that... that for us to live for the Gidron shall be shown him la hakel ba afilu kuchut asara umisha oskein or poritz gedu bishchad and nachash. Very, very strong words about people who take liberties with that minhag. And he suggests that the kula is derived from the Maral's explanation that we learned yesterday, that we only require 4 days because Dam Besulim is a big chumah to begin with. So it makes sense that there will be other kulas as well. But he says, Machmet Havalav Bracha, meaning you could explain why maybe you're not going to observe all the Archakos, and maybe eating out of Ka'ara Achas is not like the biggest deal, because the whole thing is only Chumra to begin with, like the Maral said. But Paritz Gedei Yishchad Nachash, we don't do that. Then another potential Kula, the Kitzer, the Lechem Simla, and Os Yud, says normally you would need a Bedika on Yom Aleph and Yom Zayin at a minimum, in order for Shivan Akim to be kosher, but for Dam Besulim, one Bedika is enough. In Shiru Shevet Aleinu, he's machmir on that, but the Taras Abayis is pakameikum. That even though normally if you do a bedika only on day one or only on day seven, that's not good enough. Ein lahakel, Shulchan Aruch is going to say later in Kufzad Yivav, we can't be makel on that to allow a woman to go to the mikvah. But if it's only for Dam Besulim anyway, we could be makel. None of this is, well, I shouldn't say none of this is relevant. This could be, a lot of these questions about our chakos are relevant in the sense that a kala will typically time it that she'll try to become a nida, let's say 4 days, 3, 4, 5 days after the wedding, right? So, or a couple, you know, to give themselves a couple of days of an opportunity to try to have a Bias Mitzvah. So, in that time, before she actually becomes a nida, so can you take any leniencies with these archakos, right? That's the shayla. So, the only one that appears in Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to be makel with is to sleep in her bed when she's not there. Lishon al mitasa when she's not there. The Shulchan seems to say logically we should extend it. Taras HaShlamim says there was a minhag to eat from the same plate, but as far as the bedika one, that one doesn't really happen nafkamina because usually she's going to become a real nida anyway. And if she becomes a real nida anyway, then you certainly don't have the better schools.
Is there any
kiddush
in the Shulchan Aruch saying
you can
sleep under bed even when the
dam
is there?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's about. That somehow arouses his hirurim because he's going to think about the Maisa Tashmish from the Dam. I don't know, it's like weird. No? It's like, strikes me as like strange. I don't know, it must be a cultural thing. What if she sees Dam after the second beer? Ooh, so this is Maisa Mechol Yom. I mean, obviously, only once in a person's lifetime, but, you know, Maisa Mechol Yom, that Rabbanim get this, this Shaila.
That's the office for the philosophy in the Ben College.
Rabbi Sablowski and the guy in college was what?
Tom
Besulim
for the second time.
Yeah, the what?
He said in the Q&A, the gynecologist said that it's not really that common. Then 5 minutes.
Oh, later, yeah, yeah, in that panel. Yeah, it happens all the time. I don't know. The gynecologist is away. it's a for you. So it's silly. So the question is the question, first of all, is do you have to check? You have to be looking for it. Meaning, if you won't find it if you're not looking for it. Meaning, can you just like that? You have tashmish on a towel. Then, as soon as in the dark, as soon as the tashmish is over, wipe yourself off or whatever. Wrap up the towel, throw it in the washing machine. You'll never see it, and everyone will be happy. So you're allowed to do that. So the Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Hei Samachal quotes a churashai as makel not to do bedika. Rabbi 4 says that even if she feels pain, you don't have to do a bidika, and it's fairly common that she will feel pain, meaning it's common that she'll feel pain for a little while. The first several times that she has tashmish, hopefully as it goes on, she feels less and less pain. If she starts feeling more and more pain, then she should see a doctor. But it's expected to be somewhat painful, and then as time goes on, it gets somewhat less painful. So the Trurashai, that's quoted by this Minchas Yitzchak, says that it's Sfek Sveka Bidaraisa and Sfek Echod Bidarabavan, that maybe she didn't bleed, maybe it was done besulim, and she has a cheskas tara. But he says if she has a ner, she should be machmir check, because the shach and simul kuf yud in Yerudeya says that if you have a suffix that could be easily resolved without a hefsid, then you should look into the suffix. Meaning you should try to be mevarer. You rely on suffix rabban lukula, you rely on sfex feka lukula when it's not easy to be mevarer. But you don't say suffix rabban lukula when it's easy to be mevarer. So if you have a light switch that you can turn on and see if there's so then be bodek, check if there's any dam. Now the Trushai is machmir, but the Minchas Yitzchak says yesh lodin lomar dein raya medivrei shach hanal. I don't know that the shach is correct. I mean, is applicable. He is correct. I don't know if it's applicable over here. To benito didan havikemo hefsid b'dabr diyeshkan mishum bittul pruvu. It's a hardship. So a hardship is also called a hefsid, and therefore you don't have to go. You don't have to go looking. In Aruch HaShulchan, in Osir Aleph, he says to check the sheet for dam. Meaning that was about doing a bedika, that actually taking a bedik cloth and inserting it vaginally to look for dam. That will always turn up dam. And if you do that, that is very, very likely to turn up dam. It's the second time she's ever had tashmish in her life. The trauma to the area is very likely to cause bruising or bleeding. So that's a really bad idea. So that we don't pass it the Trushai, we for sure would not do a bedika at that point. What about just looking at the sheet? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, you got to look at the sheet, even after the second bia and even after the third bia. And he writes, W'yadua baduku menusa, shalobu bia achas kalua besudin, that it doesn't finish, the basul aren't gone after one bia. Vahar b'yishkam achrei taras and bia shniya. He wrote basulim from gam b'shlishes. A lot of times, the second time, like Rabbi Sablovsky, against the gynecologist. V'luchem shvichel sizar liro salasadin gam b'pan. A gynecologist never gets that question. I'm saying, like, no one's calling a gynecologist, oh no, there is a little more blood. Because the girl knows what it is. A rabbi gets the question. So the gynecologist probably never thought of it because it doesn't matter to him. It's irrelevant, and no one's going to their gynecologist after the bia rishona. They go to the gynecologist when they get pregnant, 6 months later, whatever, after they've had multiple bias. So it's not such a pellet. The gynecologist would be totally ignorant of something like that, and the rabbanim would know better. But anyway, so the Aruch HaShulchan says that she'll have bia many times. She'll have blood many, several times. He says even if it's not so red, you got to be machmir. Even if it's Rabbi Neuberger's pink, you gotta be machmir. V'lifrosh yemenu ki b'pamar rishon. Ach masad noki midam lo cheshin l'chifa shechazer rach b'pamar rishon. He says, the big kula that I'll give you on the second time, you gotta check the sheets, but you don't have to worry about chifa shechazer if you don't see any dam. You don't have to assume that there must be dam besulim the second time. That you don't have to do. Minchas Yitzchak also agrees, and he says, b'vaday tzricha livdok asadin demokei navi kemalimayin. So what kind of religion is this? You know that there's blood there, so you're just going to close your eyes and pretend there's no blood there? That's ridiculous. But b'diavad, if you already washed the sheets, she's tahora because she's a sfek sveka and cheskas tara. In Rabbi Cheskel Roth, in his Sefer, I forgot what it's called, he writes that you don't have to check the sheets. He says, if there's dam, it's a problem, but don't go looking for it. And it's also what Rabbi Sablovsky told us, wrap up the towel, throw it in the wash, and that's how we pass it. I think in our yeshiva, I don't know if any of the poskim, I guess we could ask around, see if any of the poskim in our yeshiva say otherwise, but I'm pretty sure the majority of the poskim in our yeshiva will say, like Rabbi Sablovsky said, that on the second bia, don't look, right? Just wrap it up and put it in the washing machine. Now, if the first bia was not complete, which is very, very common, Rabbi Forrest points out that what often happens is that the couple right away on the first night, they're going to call the chassan teacher, let's say, right? And then the second bia, the chassan teacher's on a plane, he's whatever, he's not available, and they call their local rabbi. So Rabbi Forrest just points out that you got to make sure they're working with the same criteria. meaning the same criteria of what's called the Marbia, same, you know, they have to be working with what would be considered, meaning what the second rabbi might call a Bia Rishon, the first rabbi might have called a Bia Shni, depending on what you define as Bia. So you need a consistent definition of Gemar Bia. Rabbi Forst quotes a Das Torah, Marsham, that if the first Bia, that if the first Bia is not complete and there was no blood, but the second one is complete, then she's Tameya after the second Bia, even if there's no blood. That's why we try to make sure that there is a first Bia that we will define as complete before we tell her, okay, now start taking the placebos and get your period. Meaning, we don't want her to get a period until they have something that is a complete Bia.
What was the assumption that the Rabbi Sileski was working with in that case? That in the first Bia there was not a Gemara Bia?
No, there was a Gemara Bia.
So she's telling from Damsula.
She's telling from Damsula. She goes to the mikvah 2 weeks later. Now they have Bia Shania.
Oh, and now she sees blood.
And now there's blood.
So there are those who say that it would still be a problem. She could be Tamei from Damsula multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? It's Dam. Many would say, meaning we'd all say that. The question is, do you have to look for it?
Wasn't that the mission of like Bad and Lados? That's what the mission said.
The mission was something Dam B'Sulam was taught. Right? That came later where we started being Matami Dam B'Sulam.
Yeah, but the assumption that the Dam B'Sulam blood would come out
would still happen more than one time, right? That was the fairish of the mission, yeah.
We know that second time, meaning we're saying don't look as maybe Dam B'Sulam, but let's say it's Dam that's actually Matami here. We're saying just don't look, let's say it's actual Dam that's Matami here, we are Isa.
We'll get to Damach Mestashmash. How to establish Chazak of no Damach Mestashmash. You don't do that at the very, very beginning. There are poskim that say you need to do B'dikos to establish that you don't have that. There's a condition that the Gemara talks about called Damach Mestashmash, that, they're like vestos, and some vestos are veset that a particular activity brings on the veset. Like a woman, every time she does cartwheels, every time she flies in a plane, every time she, you know, that it causes her to become a Nida. So the Gemara assumes that there's a condition that every time a woman has Tashmash, it brings about Nida. And such a woman is going to be an aguna, right? Because you can't stay married to such a woman. So the Gemara talks about, in Shulchan Aruch, we passed from this, that it's muchzak for 3 times, or 2 or 3 times, that it's muchzak that she's assumed to be, that she's going to see Dam Nachmas Tashmash with that husband, she has to get divorced. Second husband, she could try a second husband, because maybe local Hevarim Shavim, not every Maisa Tashmash is the same, different men are anatomically are different, maybe one will bring about her Nida and the other one will not, but once she's Mukhsak 3 times with 3 husbands, then she becomes an Aguna. So there's a whole discussion we're going to have to get to. Does she do B'dikos to verify that there's no Dama Tashmash? We'll get to that, but there's no, in general speaking, there's no reason to assume when a couple has Tashmash that all of a sudden she became a Nida. Like, why would you assume she became a Nida during Tashmash?
And even if you should look, as long as you don't look, like, immediately you have all the clues of the stomach, right?
Right.
The one that's not like the white sheet.
Right. Yeah.
According to the Aruch Shulchan, you only have to check up 3 times. Let's say 4th time you have a clear check. Is Lashon with Shtayim?
Yeah, interesting. And he's saying it's against the Mishnah.
Yeah,
I don't know. Good question. What about a surgically removed hymen? So Rav Moshe in Yardecha Galusim Pezayin talks about Dam B'Sulam that are surgically removed, and whether the surgical procedure makes her tummy midrabanan. Meaning, this din of Dam B'Sulam, is it a din that whenever there's dam, that even though we know it's Dam B'Sulam, it's going to be metameh her? Or is it a din that Dam B'Sulam that comes out as a result of Tashmish is metameh? So Rav Moshe Paskins, the case was a chassan who claimed that the doctor told him that if he's not bovel his wife right away after the procedure, then there's a chashash that the hymen will close up again. So he needed a heter to be bovel right after the procedure. Don't get a new doctor. Take a scalpel and remove the hymen. It doesn't seem like, I don't know what that means, but Okay. The Betzider in the Tshuva in Ber Moshe Chelik Gimel Simkuf Mem Bei says she'ein safik she'achasan hita leiv hagon bali gros Moshe. He said this chasan was fooling Rav Moshe Feinstein because doctors assured him that the hymen is removed. It doesn't close up again, and certainly not within 7 days. It's not, you know, you're not going to regrow a hymen. So it's unclear what in the world is going on in Rav Moshe's Tshuva. You know, it would have been a question to ask Rabbi Tamar Zichrono Livracha, you know, to clarify. Unclear. Deborah Zina seems to have a point in that, you know, Deborah Zina is part of like that cottage industry of poskim around Rav Moshe that like take shots at Rav Moshe all the whole time. But he seems right over here. Anyways, Rav Moshe passes Tahora because fundamentally it's Damako. We're only Machmir during Bia. Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Avadya in Taras Habayis Chelek Aleph page Tavkuf Chav Aleph also agree. Rav Moshe writes, "V'mal yidei biyaso achar kach yim tzadam adayin yitla v'dam besulim v'yitzarch lifrosh asher tispras shivin akim v'asher tikbol v'im lo yitzim dam lo yitzarich lifrosh yish litlo shekal adam yatzal yidei maysa rofei achim yomer shasar rak pirtzaduch af im yomer shasar rak pirtzaduch huka." It's an important line of Moshe. Moshe says, even if the doctor says that he didn't completely remove the hymen, or he says, but I made it that it's mostly gone, and therefore there's a 90% chance that there's not going to be any further bleeding, and then on the second bia there's no, and then the first actual bia that they have, let's say Kala before she gets married gets this procedure, and the doctor, or gets the doctor, forget her procedure, gets the doctor to look at her, to examine her, and the doctor says 90% chance he won't bleed. You're a horseback rider or whatever, 90% chance you won't bleed. So Moshe says, if she doesn't bleed, you don't have to worry about chivah shechazer. Then she's tahora. Then you don't have to worry about it. I remember we had this shayla in yeshiva, the first time I told you, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it was, 3 years ago, a guy was getting married, and his wife was an avid horseback rider, and the doctor said 90% chance you won't bleed. So he asked Rav Shechter, what if Shitaka doesn't bleed? Is she going to be a Nida? So he said, 90% chance, not 100%. There's still some Basul in there, so she'd be a Nida. And then he found this truth in Ramesha. He showed it to Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter said, okay. Ramesha said, change my mind. So Ramesha said that in that case, if she doesn't bleed, then you're not going to have to worry about that Basul. Rav Simon spoke about a case where a husband trying to be intimate with his wife and foreplay or whatever else poked out the basulim with his finger. Meaning I had this shayla also more than once where a guy found the basulim on his finger. So he didn't do an act of tashmish, he penetrated her only with his finger. So and he sees dam on it. So Simon thought she's tahora because then it's like a medical procedure. It's not bia, meaning even though it's in an intimate setting and it's an act of intimacy, but it's not an act of bia, it's not an act of tashmish. And the gzeir of dam besulim, the dam besulim stami, is only when it's an act of tashmish itself, not in any act of intimacy. I think that makes a lot of sense. The Marsham in a tshuva in Simon Reish Yud says that even if it's medically removed, it does make her anita against Rav Moshe, against Rav Avadya, against Rav Shlomo Zalman, against what we're saying. Marsham says no, it's going to make her anita. Context in his case was he was asked by a woman that had a very tight hymen and it needed to be removed by a doctor. It wasn't like the case of Rav Moshe with this weird thing where the doctor removed it and said you better have tashmish right away or else, you know. So the doctor said that whatever dam she sees is only dam besulim, and the Marasham said that she can trust the doctor and therefore only wait 4 days before counting the Shivin Akiyim. But the implication is clearly that she still needs Shivin Akiyim and Tvila, because even dam besulim removed surgically would make her a nida. If she doesn't see any dam when it's removed, which is impossible, I don't know how that would happen, then there's no need to be machmir because there's no possibility of chipa shufazer, obviously, if there was no act of tashmish. So it says Marasham, if a doctor removes the hymen and she bleeds, Shivin Akiyim. But if the doctor removes the hymen and there's no blood, then there's no need for Shivin Akiyim because there's no chashash of chipa shufazera. In Shuvas Cheshav Eifod, Chelik Beis and Kuf Yud Zayin, he points out that doesn't seem to fit with the Rush because the Rush says we're only machmir about dam besulim because we want to make a low plug between all bios. But when it comes to surgery, it should certainly be viewed as dam makam, meaning. When the Rush explained the whole chumrah of dam besulim, He said, Chumrash of Chumros, low plug. On what? On Tashmish. Not Chumrash of Chumros of any blood that comes out. You're not going to take vaginal bleeding and all of a sudden make her nida based on vaginal bleeding. Right? This isn't even in the vaginal wall. This is by the vaginal opening. This is like more external than that. The Dam Basulim. So you're not going to make her nida based on that. However, the Marsha might be assuming that there's a difference between the Sibas HaGzeira and the Geder HaGzeira. Right? That the reason for the Gzeira was to make a low plug, but the Geder HaGzeira is that all Dam Basulim is considered to be Dam Nida, even when it's surgically removed. And that's aligned with who? Sidrei Tara. Right? That's the Sidrei Tara. That the Sibas HaGzeira and the Geder HaGzeira are two different things. When you say low plug and things like that, that's why they made the gzeira. But the gather of the gzeira is now dam besulim is what we call dam nida. That's aligned with the sidrei tara. And that's why we were machmir even on the possibility that dam was there, even when we don't see it. After a gemar bia, sidrei tara explained why he's so machmir. It's only dam besulim to begin with, so you don't even see it, and now I'm going to worry chivoshet vazera. No, because I'm worried that there's dam besulim, and dam besulim to me means dam nida. When I say Dam Basulim, I mean Dam Nida nowadays. That's the gather of the Gezeira. In the Chumas Mari Steif, Bjornason Steif, was a big Hungarian posek. He says that the Marsham is based on the Gaonim, that the reason for Dam Basulim is that Ra'ada V'chilchala, that there was some traumatic experience that causes Nida to come. And he says that could happen with the doctor removing the Basulim with the scalpel also. It's also traumatic. I don't know if that's what the Gona meant. Rabbi Chulchot probably meant an emotional traumatic experience, not a physically traumatic experience. It's a little difficult. Alright, so what happens? She gets it surgically removed. Sometimes you'll have to tell a kala, right? Sometimes a couple is having trouble having tashmish, and something seems like it's too much trouble, right? Meaning everyone has whatever struggles they have at the beginning, but like sometimes going on for a while. So obviously go to a doctor, right? Tell them to go to a doctor. So sometimes the doctor will just say like there's some sort of condition in the hymen that's blocking the vaginal opening or something like that. So then you at that point everyone would say have a doctor remove it, right? So it's not so unheard of that a doctor would remove the hymen. It's not so we don't recommend doing it in advance of the wedding just stam when it's a regular case and anatomically she's perfectly regular. We don't recommend doing that, even though again Rav Shafta didn't seem to have such a problem with it, but it's not the easiest thing to do. But afterwards sometimes we do. What about the next via after the surgical removal? So if she bleeds, she's tamei. Minchas Yitzchak suggests that if the doctor says it's from the healing of the surgical wound, she's tahora because that's damaka. He says, what do you mean? That's not Dam Basulim, that's a surgical wound. Surgical wound is damaka. It's hard to know how to thread that needle, right? Meaning, the surgery was to remove the basulim. So whatever it is, whatever dam, it's hard to know that that's called damaka, not Dam Basulim. If she doesn't bleed, so most poskim say she's tahora. Darkei Tshiva, in Kufzai Gimel Osei, quotes the Zera Emes, who says that a Mukas 8 still has to assume that there's more dam and that the hymen was not completely removed. So Rabbi Force points out that he might agree that if a doctor verifies that it's completely removed, she'll be Tahora. But short of that, maybe she'll be Temeya on the second time around if there is, if there's no dam. The Chutshani says that even if the doctor says it's mostly gone, if she doesn't bleed, you could be Mekel. Rabbi Force quotes from Moshe, who says that you can only be Mekel if the doctor says that it's completely gone. But I just told you 3 minutes ago that Rav Moshe says that you could be Mekel even if the doctor says it's mostly gone. So who are you going to believe? Me telling you what Rabbi Force says, or Rav Moshe says, or me telling you what I saw Rav Moshe say? If you look at Rav Moshe, you look. Let's see what he says. I thought he says that even if the doctor just says he's making a pirtz of dechuta, if there's no blood, you could be making. So I thought. Rav Willig was machmir, unless the doctor says it's all gone. But Rav Shechter, once he saw Rav Moshe, was making in the case of the avid horseback riding girl. And the guy was a Talmud of Rav Moshe, so he was able to be making. I mean, Talmud of Rav Shechter, so he was able to be making of that. Oh, that's a good question from Isabelowski. Doctor says that the hymen is mostly gone. 90% chance he won't bleed. She's an avid horseback rider, aerobics instructor, I don't know, whatever, right? And then she doesn't bleed from the bia, from bia rishon. Is she indeed? So Rabbi Willick says yes. My guess is Rabbi Simon's going to say no. But the Madarna Shechevra, at least.
He said something about bia shnia and extenuating circumstances.
Right. Okay. And Rabbi Shechter would say that not a problem. Now, one last thing. And Be'ez Hashem on Sunday we'll be moving on to after enjoying our extra hour of sleep, right? We'll be moving on to Kotsan Didalit. One last thing. After finding the Basul in the Torah, Mis Yosef, and the Ezer Simon Samach Gimel, quote Bahag, that there's a Birkas Basulim that should be recited. Baruch Atah Hashem El Kedem El Chlom Hashem Tzag Egos B'gan Eden Shoshanas HaMakim Bal Yim Shal Zar B'mayim Chosum Al Kena Yolos Ahuvim Shomer B'tar B'chok Lo Hefara Baruch HaBocher B'zaru Shal Avram. So Beis Yosef says that the Russian Ksubas quotes it, and it was instituted by Meir Gaonim, such a bracha, and he said it's most mustaber to say it after finding the Basulim. However, Dr. Moshe says you should say it ala kotz. Right, so after the Birkas Shona, they see that there's Basulin, so they quickly get dressed, pour a cup of wine, and say this bracha. So we're forced quotes the Shulchan HaEzer that if there was no bleeding, even if there was pain in Gemar Bia, then you don't say it. So the Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer, in Hilchos Kiddushin, Siman Samach Gimel, he writes, B'yei Shomrin, Sha'achar Shematz Basulin, Mevarich, Baruch Atah Hashem, Again, Adam HaShem, and B'yei Shomrin, Deim, Baruch Atah Hashem, Belokos. So Beishmuel, so he quotes both days whether you need a kosher or not. So Beishmuel on the spot says that the Achor mask based on the Rosh in the beginning of Kedushin, we don't say any brachas not mentioned in Shas. So how come over here we're saying a brachas not mentioned in Shas? So he quotes a bach, say without Sheva Malchus. Because there's a bracha not mentioned in Shas, you shouldn't say it. So the whatever the full text is, right? But the point is to say it, say it without Sheva Malchus. I don't know, is the minhag to say it? I think yesh v'yesh. Some have a minhag to say it. Some chassan teachers always tell, instruct the chassan to say it. Add that to the list. I think we need a full hour of Rabbi Solovsky next time. Right. Add that to the list. Should one recite the bracha after finding Dam Basulim? Of the married guys here, how many guys were instructed by their chassan teacher to say a bracha? Not an overwhelming majority. yeah, okay, so I guess I showed my hand in terms of what I think. Okay. Alright, everyone have a great day, great Shabbos, and we'll pick up with the next segment on Sunday. That's a Shabbos. Next exciting Yoledes, Mapeles, ooh, wow.